Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly ongoing life transformational coaching calls from Applied Spirituality. And I'm Kathy Kirk, and I'm your Sherpa for the evening. So we're going to get started here pretty quick. And when you come in, I'd like you to just put yourself on mute, which is star 6 on your pad there. And just listen, and then at the end, I'll take some questions if you have any. And I have questions that come in. You can put them in either through the website at appliedspirituality.com/coaching at the forum. And the password to the forum is coaching on that protected page. The other way is you can go to coach@appliedspirituality.com and send me an email. So let's see here. Hopefully you've got your notebooks ready, and you're going to be taking some notes while I'm talking. In the format that we do every Sunday evening, we're doing about 20 minutes where I talk about what we're up to, what we're focusing on for the week, and what we hope to accomplish. And that way you can spend the week kind of in your regular life, your real world reality life, with what you want to accomplish by changing things and doing them differently. So in order to change a habit, which is what we're all trying to change, you have to practice a new one. And so what we're really doing here is trying to change our minds. And these are minds that are not just ours that we've collected along this physical trail, but these are also collective mind, which is something that has been in place for thousands and thousands of years. So this isn't necessarily easy, but it is simple because you just keep putting your focus back on where you want it to be rather than where it has been by default. So, and we do this in the course of everyday problems. So this is absolutely practical and absolutely useful, and the mastery of it is what changes your life from what you're experiencing now to what you want it to be. So once we kind of get it down in one format and we get good at it, then we can see how powerful our own mastery really is to create the life that we really want. So to get started for tonight, I wanted to talk about living an unconditional life. And what does that mean? And living an unconditional life means that things don't have to change in the external in order for you to feel good. So in order to feel good, feeling good means that you are maintaining your connection with Source in whatever way possible. And at this point, I'd like to direct you back to the website, to the coaching download page, where you're going to find two PDF files. One is the emotional vibrational scale document, which is like a diagram that I worked pretty hard on, and it's on an XY axis. And all the positive emotions are above the X-axis, and all the negative emotions are below that. And so when you're having an emotion, you can look at this diagram to see how far apart your human mind is from your God mind, which is the actual lining it up on the Y-axis of feeling good at the top. So, for example, you might see down below at the worst scenario, the worst feeling in the world is one of disempowerment, where you feel powerless. And that's where many people are. They could be depressed or whatever. And it could be on any subject. It could be just on one subject, or it could be across the board. But as you learn that you can deliberately think a thought that makes you feel better, you can move up that vibrational scale from disempowerment to anger to revenge to overwhelmment. And each one of these is positive movement. Now, we don't particularly want to stay in those other states, but you just want to keep moving up until you get to the place of where you're sort of believing it, and then you're knowing it. And the minute you know something to be true and feel it's true, you're back into alignment with Source, and that's when your manifestation occurs. And by the way, a miracle is simply when you actually believe right away. You didn't have to change your mind on something. You actually believe what you asked for. And that should be our default happening all over the planet, that we just, what we wish for, we get because we believe it. So that's what we're working on. And as I said before, we're confronting some really tough beliefs that have been entrenched for a very long time. And beliefs are just a pattern of thought that we keep thinking. So just to change that, we just have to start thinking something else long enough that we believe it. So that's the work. And that's what, back to the beginning of the discussion tonight, is how to live an unconditional life. So if you actually lived an unconditional life, you would know that certain situations, circumstances, people, the weather, nothing has to change externally to you in order for you to feel good, which is synonymous with feeling your connection to God. So the government doesn't have to become all Republican or all Democrat, and your spouse doesn't have to remember to put the lid on the toothpaste, and you don't have to be debt-free, and you don't have to weigh your perfect weight, and you don't have to be in the perfect love relationship to be happy. Most people walk around saying, I'll be happy when. It'll be good when. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can be happy and feel good right now. In fact, if you be happy and feel good right now, that thing that you're waiting for is much closer to happening to you or for you. So that the things external to you do not have to change in order for you to feel happy. Things don't need to be going your way for you to feel good. You can choose to feel good no matter what is passing in front of your eyes, regardless of what your ears are hearing. So who would have thought that that was possible? And is it possible? Yes, it is. I kind of think that that's what the 23rd Psalm is all about. When it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So in my picture, I kind of think about going through a funhouse where everything appears to be scary, but because you're so connected to Source, you're just sort of like going, isn't that interesting? Wow, that was interesting, and you're not buying into it. You're just walking through the valley of the shadow, and you're feeling happy and good until the cart takes you out to the end. So, and this is what we're up to in these group coaching calls. We're learning to become masters of our own lives. This group coaching is all about learning to manage our own vibrational countenance and, of course, become the masters of our focus. We always, always have personal choice of where we choose to focus our attention. So let's talk about somebody who's optimistic. Someone who's optimistic sees the best in things, or they're seeing that the glass is half full. They're always looking for the good in a situation or a circumstance. They're seeing the God in someone or in something. My grandma would say there's a silver lining in this. She would be looking for the silver lining. I have another friend who used to say, there's a pony in here somewhere, referring to a stall that would be full of manure. And you'd be just digging through the manure looking for the pony. This would also be someone who appreciates as a habit. If you guys will hold on just a minute, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. So people who are optimistic, people who are living in a higher vibrational countenance, which would be more in alignment with Source, which is who we all really are at our core, would be people who give others the benefit of the doubt. These are people who are kind of whistling or humming all day long, while others are sort of moaning. And these are people who just know that they should have something nice to say about things, or else they just don't speak. So why would you want to become someone like this? Well, there's only one reason, and one reason only, and that's because the universe is matching your vibrational countenance in this moment right now. Now, this moment is the only moment you have. And this is the power is vested in this moment. So the past is gone, the future's not here yet. So right now, in this moment, is where all your power is. That's the only place it ever is right here in this moment. So that makes it really important that you pay attention to how you feel in the moment right now. And the reason you pay attention is because this is what the universe is matching all the time. So in the process of becoming a master, the master is always aware of how they're feeling in the moment. So it's not because you want to be a goody two-shoes. It's not because you want to please somebody else. It doesn't. The only reason, and it's a wholly selfish reason, and this is a good selfish, is because the only one who can manage your vibration that the universe is matching is you. Nobody else can intrude in that. Nobody, people can influence it, and you can let them influence it, but you're the one who decides whether to allow the influence or not. So let's say you're in a bad mood, and your friend comes over and says, let's go roller skating. You're the one who can choose to say yes and allow yourself to raise your emotional, I have to stop and say I'm laughing. My cat just brought in a mouse and he's chasing it. Anyway, so he's always happy. He's always in alignment with well-being. So, or you can, if you're in a down mood, you can choose to pick up the phone and call somebody who will commiserate with you and tell you how unfair things are and how bad it is for you. And that just prolongs that and entrenches that even further. But in the first choice, when you said, yes, let's go roller skating, and at the end of that, you're like happy and you don't even remember why you were depressed when you went, now you made a choice for life, for your good, for yourself. And that is the selfishness that I want to cultivate in you, is that it's the most important thing that you can do is to know that you must feel good. So, and the reason is because good is the same word as God. It's the same thing. If it's good and it feels good, it is, you're in alignment. And that is who you really are. So that's the reason you want to feel good and make those choices. You want the universe to match your optimism. You want the universe to match your belief in your good. You want the universe to match your dreams and desires that you hold within you and that you believe in. And this, of course, is how we manifest anything, either good or bad. This is a universe where everything gets to be. At least it is here on planet Earth. I mean, you can just look around and say it's a veritable smorgasbord out there. There's everything from what we would term evil to angelic. And there's every descriptor from that entire range. Well, where do you want to live your life? What do you want to experience in your life? Of course you want to experience the things that are above the X-axis, the things that are delightful and fun and pleasurable and cute and beautiful and enjoyable and ecstatic and orgasmic and delicious, all those things that we think of as good. These are God in manifested forms, and when we enjoy them, we are in alignment. So every time you're saying something like, I can't, or that's not possible, that's exactly what you're going to get. The roadblocks to make something impossible, and not just on the topic you declared impossible, but across the board. Everything that you try will become more difficult. So what we're trying to do here is raise our default set points inside of ourselves from this is hard or that's impossible or what we think is to be true right now to the default positions of that's easy, that's interesting, that could be fun, that's amazing. And the more we do this, the more we practice this, even in the tiny little things of life, it becomes our new habit to be a person that's looking for the silver lining, that sees the glasses half full, and those kinds of things. And the more you do that, the easier life gets, and the more things are possible. And now you start proving to yourself that this is exactly how the whole thing works. So I remember... I don't know, maybe you don't remember, but I can remember the story of Pollyanna. It was, of course, a book, and then it was made into a film. I think it was a Disney film. And she used to play the glad game. And anything that she would encounter in life, she would find something to be glad about within it. And it was something that, of course, Disney makes children's films because these things are just for kids. But this is, oddly, this is exactly what the adults need to be learning to do, is to find the good in everything and just pull on the good, which makes it bigger in your experience. So every time you're resenting or criticizing, let's say, someone who's wealthy, then you just pushed your own wealth further away from you. And every time you talk about disease or sickness or cancer or the flu, you've just made it more likely that you're going to experience that. Everything and anything that you fear or hate or resent or make bad or wrong becomes the very reality that you do not want to experience because you are pushing against it, you are paying attention to it, you're putting your life force into it, and that life force, folks, that you focus through yourself is the same thing that created worlds. So you're going to be making it bigger and bigger in your own experience. So what we're doing here is we're cleaning up our own vibrational countenance. And the first thing you do is become mindful. And you pay attention to what you hear yourself saying to others. And then, of course, to yourself. It's a little easier to pay attention to what you're saying to others. I'm always amazed when I'm listening to what I'm saying to somebody else, and I feel like this finger is pointing right back to myself. So, and usually it's good advice. Like if I'm giving advice to somebody else, it's exactly the advice that I need to be giving to myself. It's not so much you need to edit your words, so much as you need to become really conscious of how you're feeling in that given moment. Because when we're saying things or believing things and operating in a pattern, in a belief system that is not in alignment with our good, it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good. In fact, you almost know that you should just not be saying this. In fact, you probably hear yourself saying, I shouldn't be saying this. So pay attention. And when you are aware of that, then stop. You just literally stop doing it. And these are how we start to turn this boat around from where it's been going to where we want it to go. And they're not dramatic moments. They're just tiny moments that added up really change a life. So when you're criticizing, you're hating, you're maligning, disparaging, diminishing, name-calling, blaming, and this doesn't have to be vocally. You only have to be thinking about it because that's what you're really believing. And if you're really believing that, then that's what you're emanating in your vibrational countenance. So notice how that feels inside your body. Where are you feeling this icky feeling as you're spewing this stuff you're spewing or thinking this stuff you're thinking? Is it in your neck? Is it in your gut? Is it in your butt? Is it in your leg? But you will be feeling it somewhere in your body. And this is how people develop diseases. It's just because you're misaligned and you have a feeling and a belief behind that feeling that's not true. And so once you sort of get the hang of it, this whole body, mind, spirit thing starts to make a whole lot of sense. For at the root of every tirade is a fear-based belief. It could be there's not enough, or if you're afraid of those people, or what that belief might mean to you. Oftentimes, these are not even our own beliefs. Sometimes these are the beliefs of other people that we've picked up along our physical trail, which have simply gone into our own subconscious belief system unchallenged. Oftentimes when we're very young, you know, from the time we're born to, let's say, the time we're 5 years old, and we may not even have a verbal description of this belief, but it's just a really dark feeling. So, but these were things that have gone into us passively and accepted as true, unedited. Well, now you're an adult and you get to clean out your subconscious closet, so to speak, and these fear-based beliefs that have been in there playing over and over and over again and have been attracting all of your realities by the law of attraction, these things prove that what you believe is true for you. So that's why people say, well, see, it's true. People can't be trusted. He just screwed me, or, you know, whatever that might be. But that's because of that operating belief that has gone on unedited within that person. So once that belief can be shifted, and that's what we do, we shift these into a higher belief so that we're in alignment with God, alignment with our good, alignment with who we really are, then we know that that is patently untrue. So basically any negative emotion you're having tells you one thing and one thing only, that what you believe underneath that negative emotion is patently untrue, that your God self, your God mind, your Godship is not joining you in that nonsense. It knows that that's not true. So let's say that you're feeling really disempowered, you're feeling depressed, and you feel hopeless in your life, and you feel like you can't do anything right. You're screwed. You're useless. It feels so bad to you because your Godship is completely 180 degrees away from you saying, you are powerful creator. Anything you need, want, or desire, you can create instantaneously. So that gap between what your human mind is believing and what your God mind knows to be true is so vast, that's why the pain is so great. So the smaller the gap, the lesser that negative emotion is. So where annoyed is a whole lot more empowered position than disempowerment, it's still not in alignment, but you don't feel like you're hopeless and helpless, because that span between your human mind and your God mind isn't as great as that between your God mind and your hopeless. So it's a relative scale. And if you go to the website and download that PDF file and start to use it, you'll get a better sense of where you are on the emotional vibrational scale. And we'll talk more about working with that and how to raise any belief system from where it is to where you want it to be. But you don't have to sit in therapy, digging around in your subconscious mind for 10 years to lead a happy life. In fact, that pretty much would just create more of what you don't like when you're digging around and what my mother did to me and what my teacher did and what the nuns did, and then that happened to me, And the more you talk about it, the more you're creating that into more of a reality. All you have to do to lead a conscious life and to improve your life is just to go about living your normal life and notice when you're having a negative emotion. And that negative emotion is kind of like the flag on the putting green that says, dig here because this is where the false belief is operating. So a negative emotion, from now on, I want you to start thinking about them as your new best friend and to embrace them. Because this is telling you that this is where a false premise, an operating belief, has gone unedited, and that's where you need to do the work. So I'll say this at this point, that if this process were easy, everyone would have done it by now, and the world would look very differently than it does. But having said that, if you want to live the life you desire, then you need to accept the responsibility for changing your vibrational countenance, which means raising your own vibration on all the topics that you are currently not completely happy or joyful about within your life. So in other words, if you want to know how well you're doing with your vibrational countenance, all you have to do is look at your physical life as it is right now, because it is an exact mirror of what you think and what you believe. It's that simple. So don't take off here and go on a whole rampage of beating yourself up. I mean, don't even go there. That's not what this is about. This is just the starting point. This is where we are right now. It's a snapshot. It is this now moment, and that's it. And it has no bearing on the next moment or the future unless you act on this moment. So the way we're going to start to act on this now moment is to look for the good in it and to become more optimistic about it and to create default thinking that is supportive and loving. In the beginning, I think I spoke to you all about choosing you. And that whole discussion was about choosing yourself first, including yourself in the equation of love in your life. We've all here in Western culture been brainwashed into thinking that leading a selfish life is the sacred thing to do. It is more blessed to give than receive. And all those things about sacrificing yourself for the greater good. But that is one of the greatest operating lies around, because when you don't include yourself in the equation of love, obviously it's easy to do things for other people, to make sure that they're happy, that their needs are met, and yes, I can do that for you. But if you're not including yourself as an equal consideration in every decision point, that means that you're sacrificing your well-being for that of others. And that is not a good thing to do. Because when you aren't considering what you need, want, and desire, and making sure that you are fulfilling that for yourself, then who is going to do that? Who is going to make sure that your gifts and talents are delivered to the world? There is nobody else that does you. You're it. You are the unique emanation, manifestation of God in your physical body and through your mind and your personality. And you are a unique interpreter of all the vibrational things on planet Earth, food, ideas, sunlight, art, whatever it is that you are beholding. And you probably came in here with an intention to have a good time, to enjoy this incarnation, to be an uplifter of some sort, to improve things, or maybe not even improve things, because on that side, we don't think the world needs improved. We came here to be God in the body, to be good in the body, to be joyful. So if you're putting off and sacrificing those things that you would consider good in your life experience, I would enjoy the opera immensely. I would enjoy drawing. I would enjoy managing a group of people. I would enjoy thinking big thoughts. I would enjoy riding a bicycle, whatever. But if you're not doing those things because the kids need this or the husband needs that or there'll be a time later, then you are not paying attention to what you came here to do, and therefore your gift to the planet is not being given to the rest of us. So you are actually diminishing the whole. And basically, I think that's what, when you look out into the world right now, you see the result of a whole lot of people not pleasing themselves and therefore not delivering their gifts and talents to the world in joy. So it's a big work we do when we undertake to love ourselves enough, so much so that there is nothing we wouldn't do to give to ourselves what we need, want, and desire. So I want you to think about that. You know, it's easy to love a child and it's easy to love a pet unconditionally. So here's something for you to think about. What if you loved yourself the same way you loved your child or your pet? So think about that. You know, you buy the best foods for your child. You buy the best foods for your pets. You make sure they have everything they want and what you think they want. And you maybe sacrifice what you need and want for their good. That's behavior. It's going to go away if you stay in this group coaching. It's, you're going to see and you're going to realize that all of these things can be met at the same time, that it's not an either-or decision, it's an and choice. And either-or is a thought of human mind and is a thought of God mind. So there is always a way for things that seem to be mutually exclusive or oxymorons to live in the same sentence and be fulfilled, because Source is the fulfillment of all things here in the body. So that's what we're trying to do, is do this not in just in consciousness, but here in the body. I want to tell you about a friend of mine I had years ago. He's still a friend, but he lives in California. And I guess I should just call him Billy and change his name so that he's not known. But anyway, Billy was a career Marine. In fact, he was a gunnery sergeant. And he was a really interesting guy. He was 25 years in the Marines, and he looked like a black Mr. Clean. He was, you know, really buff guy, bald head. And when he finally retired from the Marines, he decided to get his degree in psychology because he wanted to be a counselor. So to this end, he began doing an enormous amount of inner work to free himself of his own operating false beliefs. And he was the one that told me that this inner work stuff was really inconvenient. And I just had to laugh, and I said, "Why, Billy, what happened?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I was on the base today, and I was in the gym, and I was bench pressing. And all of a sudden, this feeling of sadness went over me, and I began to cry. And here I am with, you know, like 150 pounds bench pressed over my head, and I'm crying in front of all these Marines." So the old Billy, he said, would have sucked it up and stuffed it down and not allowed himself to feel that feeling as it passed through. But the new Billy, that loved himself so much that he would not tolerate a false belief operating within him, allowed his tears to flow in front of all those macho Marines. So I think perhaps this is the perfect story to describe a spiritual warrior, because Billy was definitely in the process of becoming more of who he really was and is. So inner work can be often inconvenient and, some say, sometimes scary. But I have to say that these are only feelings. And a feeling can't hurt you. I mean, it's not going to kill you. It's just going to have, you'll feel what it feels like as it passes through you. And if you allow it to pass through you and you pay attention and sort of honor it and realize that underneath that feeling, a belief is going to pop up. In some way, you're going to know what that belief is. It just is how it works. It will happen. And at that moment, you have the choice to begin changing that belief because it was never really true to begin with. So that's kind of cool. And for every one of these that you clean up out of your subconscious closet and attic, the freer light being you are on Earth to be more of who you are and be skippity-doo-dah in your own life. So, all right, those are my opening comments for today. So in the week that's coming, I want you to begin practicing default thinking at a higher level. So I want you to cultivate the phrase, "That's interesting." So when you see something that is not to your liking or doesn't feel good, you might respond to, instead of saying that's bad or wrong, you might say, "That's interesting." Now give yourself some leeway here and some credit and some space, because you're not going to change this default thinking overnight, but this is where we're heading, okay? We're heading to, wow, that's pretty interesting. So when you hear somebody spewing something like, the last one that got me was the guy that was going to burn the Quran. And my default thought was, gee, that's an interesting response. And then the next one I could think of was, he must be really afraid. But I want you to take the things that just gravel you, that just peel your skin right up, or like nails on a chalkboard, and start to practice some of this default thinking. Another thing I want you to start doing, and you can do this anytime, this is a good one to do in the car when you're driving, is just turn the radio off and through the whole ride, find things that you are appreciating. And look at your surroundings, look at the other cars, look at whatever. It gets to be fun after a while. So it might start out pretty slow, like, well, I appreciate that we have really good roads, and I appreciate I have a car, and I appreciate the sky is blue today, and I appreciate. But then the more you appreciate, and the longer you can hold a thought of appreciation, for example, 17 seconds is all you have to hold a thought of appreciation, the law of attraction will immediately bring you another thought. So after a while, if you're playing this game in the car, it actually becomes kind of like an avalanche, and you'll start seeing things all over the place that you appreciate. And the next thing you know, you'll look up and you'll see somebody who's singing to their radio and having a good time, and you can appreciate that. And that's how life gets better and better. But so this is also a tactic you can use when you really don't feel very good. And this brings me to the other PDF that is downloadable at the coaching download site. And it is the processes that you can use to raise your vibrational countenance. And the appreciation game is a really good one to play. Some talk about gratitudes, and I don't say that's not a good one. Gratitudes are good, but they imply that you have had to overcome an obstacle. And I kind of would like you to get to the point where you don't think anything's an obstacle. So I would prefer that you practiced the appreciation game. So, and you can do it on any topic. I mean, you can pick any topic, even topics that don't feel real comfortable to you. Might be a topic about your body. Might be a topic about your health. It could be a topic about your finances. It could be a topic about your relatives. It doesn't matter. Start anywhere and find something to appreciate and keep doing it. Hold one thought long enough so that another can join it, and just keep going until you're on a roll. This is how you change your own vibrational countenance, and that's all we're interested in. We're only interested that you feel good on any given topic. So in this week, we're back to that about I want you to look for the silver lining, look for the good, find a way to use the default phrase, boy, that's interesting, and appreciate. So let's just take that as the operating exercise for the week. And I think that'll give you enough to work with when you're dealing with traffic and a boss or relatives or whatever comes up in life. Because what we're going to learn is that by changing our own internal vibration, what we experience outside is going to change automatically. And that takes a whole lot less energy than doing something physical about it. So, okay, that's the comments for tonight. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the opening comments? Oh, to speak, just unmute yourself, hit star 6. Okay, one of these days, you guys are going to become more vocal, I know. I do have a couple of questions that had come in during the week. One was from a private coaching client, and so I can address those because I told her I would answer this in the call, and then two came in through an email. So if you don't have any questions or comments, I'm going to stop here and give you a few more moments to formulate your question, work up the courage to hit star 6 and ask one. Okay, well, let's move on then. This question comes from Joyce in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And this came through an email at coach@appliedspirituality.com. Joyce says, I'm depressed. I can barely get myself out of bed, and all I want to do is sleep. I really can't stand my life, and I don't know what to do about it. Okay, Joyce. Well, first of all, I want to just say good on you for writing the question down and taking the effort and loving yourself enough to send the question in to be answered. So good. Good for you. So you're well on your way to loving yourself enough to feel good, and you know that there's nothing more important than you feel good. Depression is probably the ultimate on the emotional vibrational scale. It's way down there below the x-axis, and it's the place of the most disempowered place you can be. And I empathize with that. I have been there myself, so I totally understand your question, and I understand what it feels like there. What I want you to remember, first of all, is that whatever belief is beneath that depressed state is simply a thought that you've been thinking for a very long time. So let that sort of go in there and make you feel better a little bit. It's just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. And quite possibly, it's a thought that isn't even yours. Okay, but it's in there, and it's just operating. So the second thing is that depression, in my experience, is the result of using a lot of your source energy to keep that thought at bay. So you're using everything possible to not confront that thought, and that's a trick and maneuver of the ego, you know. You don't want to go there. Oh, boy, you don't want to go there. That thought's too scary, and it's too big, and it would do no good to address that thought. And so these things, these thoughts that are going on in your mind are in your subconscious mind, and so they're just looping over and over again, then they're not even coming up to your conscious mind so you can grab them. And so I call it, you know, making pancake batter in your head. You know, it just goes on, and then the thought gets bigger, and the universe sends more evidence, and it just becomes a blacker and blacker place to be. So the thing you want to do is build on the fact that you actually wrote this question down and sent it in to me to answer, because there is a spark of life there. There is a spark of your Godship saying, reach for that and do it. And there's a part of you that is very much alive and very much wants to live wholly and completely and fully and happily and knows it's possible, or you wouldn't have asked the question and you wouldn't be here. So I would start there. And I would do many lists of things to appreciate. Now, your list might be very short on day one. I know when I was there, I would just give myself kudos because I got out of bed. And then maybe the day two, you do a happy dance because you got out of bed and you actually brushed your hair. And then a happy dance on day four because you got out of bed, brushed your hair, and actually brushed your teeth. So start wherever you start. And just know that you have begun turning this boat around, and it's all possible, and it's done one step at a time, and it's one moment at a time, and it's done by appreciating who you are and what you've done as well done in that moment, and you build on that, and pretty soon you get a little momentum going. And so maybe by day eight, you not only got out of bed and brushed your hair and brushed your teeth, but maybe you actually took a shower and put on some clothes. And maybe you actually went outside and sat in the fresh air. That's a happy dance. That's a celebration. And then maybe instead of eating cereal out of the box, you actually, like, cooked oatmeal. That's a happy dance. You did something really good for yourself. Everything good. And then you might want to sit and look and appreciate what's going on outside. And then you might want to take out a new sheet of paper and say, okay, let's just start tallying up some of the things that are good about me. And you start writing lists of things about you that are great and good and that you think are really interesting and that you appreciate even if no one else does, because this is all about you. This doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. And then maybe you actually buy my books and you do the online course and you go, wow, this is good. You know, you're tallying your inventory and you're starting to even more appreciate who you are and how special and unique you are. My experience of depression is that everything you think is wrong about you is your gift. So I'm going to leave you with that for tonight, Joyce, and I want you to get started anywhere you start, and it's your job to do a happy dance at any tiny little thing that you do better and feel better about, and you pay no attention to what anybody else is saying to you. All right, and I want you to check back in about 2 weeks.